unique. Let's go. We gotta start. All right, praise the Lord. Good morning, everybody. Come on, stand up with us. Everybody on stage, band on stage, please, right now. We had a bit of a problem today with the screen. Some kind of a computer glitch. We tried to fix it, couldn't get it working. We're going to have church anyway, right? We're going to do it old style today. But we're going to give God praise. Come on, Monique, get up on the stage, please. We want to sing. We need you up here. We're waiting on you. Praise God. Yes, it is. To think I was up at 4:30 this morning already, came to church already, walked into this. Praise God. Yep. Come on, guys. Let's focus. Turn off the music. Let's focus. We're going to start now. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. We give you praise today, Lord. We've come to lift you up. Lord, we're going to give you praise with all that is within us. We're going to lift our hands, clap our hands, lift our voice, because you are worthy, Lord. You are mighty. You are great. There's no God like our God, Lord. We thank you that you are faithful. We thank you that you are all-powerful. We thank you for Jesus today. Lord, we give you praise in the name of Jesus. Come on, put your hands together. Give God some praise today. Give him a shout. Come on, let's praise him today. Come on, Monique, let's sing. Let's worship.
Hallelujah. All right, let's keep that momentum going. I want you to put your hands together while we sing. Here we go. Lord, we bless you this morning. We give you praise, Lord. I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind away? It was my tomb until I met you. I was breathing but not alive. All my failures I tried to hide. It was my tomb till I met you. Yeah, you called my name and I ran out of that grave. Come on. Out of the darkness unto your glorious day. Yeah, you called my name. To your glorious day. Mercy has saved my soul. Now your freedom is all that I know. The old made new.
to your glorious day. Yeah, you call my name.
My sin was heavy, but chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter, I was an orphan. Now you call me a citizen of heaven. God, we've come to meet with you. We love you this morning. Come on. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. How many know that God is fighting for us? He's gone before us. And God, we just give you praise for it this morning. And in Jesus' name, God, let heaven come today. Hallelujah. Somebody get excited in this place. Hey.
God is fighting for us. God is on our side. He has overcome. Yes, he has overcome. We will not be shaken. We will not. God is fighting for us. God is on our side. He has overcome. Yes, he has overcome. We will not be shaken. We will not be moved. Jesus, you are here. Carrying our burdens, covering our shame. He has overcome. Yes, he has overcome. We will not be shaken. Thank you. God so strong in this building today. I feel he's fighting for us and everyone that needs healing, everyone that needs some kind of inspiration, someone who needs help, sadness, grief, lift it off of them. Jesus will do it for you today in his name. God fights for us no matter what we do. He always loves us. No matter what we do.
Come on.
God is fighting for us.
Pushing back the darkness, lighting up the kingdom that cannot be shaken. In the name of Jesus, enemies defeated, and we will shout it out, shout it out. God is fighting for us, pushing back the darkness, lighting up the kingdom that cannot be shaken.
One declaration right now as a church. I want us to sing this bridge one more time. God is fighting for us, pushing back the darkness, lighting up the kingdom that cannot be shaken. In the name of Jesus, enemies defeated, and we will shout it out. Come on, church. Say, God is battles. Hey. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So we have a new song, and you want to skip the gratitude first? Okay. So media, I'd like you to go to gratitude for me, which is song number 4. Band, we're playing gratitude, song number 4. You got to be open for a change and a move. In life, you have to be open. When you think it's going to the left and God says move to the right, you got to be ready to move. You got to be ready to follow after him. So that's what we're doing this morning.
All my words fall short.
I've got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? And I could sing these songs as I often do. And every song must stand, and you never do. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, I'm nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah. I've got one response, I've got just one move. With my arms stretched wide, and I will worship you. Oh, so I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah. Ooh. We give it all to you, Lord. We give you all. You get shy on me, lift up your song. 'Cause you got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Whoa. So come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me, lift up your song. 'Cause you got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I'm nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah. Hallelujah. Whoa.
something else to say, you say, oh, say, whoa. Whoa.
Lift up your song. You got a lion inside of those lungs. So get up and praise the Lord.
Oh, so come on, my soul.
Come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song. You got a lion inside of those lungs. So get up and praise the Lord. You got a lion inside of those lungs. So get up and praise the Lord. Get up, get up, get up.
Come on,
my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song. You got a lion inside of those lungs. So get up and praise the Lord. Got a lion inside of those lungs. So get up and praise the Lord.
Come on and declare it today. Come on. Hey.
Come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song. You got a lion inside of those lungs. So get up and praise the Lord.
There's a change in this atmosphere. I don't know if you can sense it in this place, but right now I just sense, right now, if we let it flow in this room, if we lift up a shout in this room, if we give our praise in this room, there's breakthrough here. There's breakthrough here. There's freedom here. There's prayers being answered in this room. Lift up your voice. Lift up a shout of praise in this place. Come on, don't get shy. Don't get shy. Don't miss it.
Don't you get shy on me, lift up your song. Cause you got a lion inside of those lungs. So get up and praise the Lord.
Come on, this is a call to you, church. Sing it out.
Come on, my soul. Don't you get shy on me, lift up your song. You got a lion inside of those lungs. So get up and praise.
There's healing in this room. Come on and declare it. Sing it out.
Come on, my soul. Don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song. Cause you got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord.
Sing it with a loud voice. Come on and declare.
Come on, my soul. Don't you get shy on me.
You've been praying for, but I sense the healer. I sense the breakthrough is here. I sense his presence so strong in this place. And it's calling you. It's calling you to praise. Because that thing you've been waiting on, the thing that you've been looking for it to break in the presence of God is where it will break people. So I want you to shout out a praise unto God this morning. I want you to lift it up. Come on. Don't be silent. Don't be silent. Let it out. Let it out. We worship you, God. We worship you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's such an atmosphere, just like Monique said. It was like there was an atmosphere change that came when we began to worship God just like that. Because family, we are in his presence. Bible says that we enter his gates with thanksgiving, we enter his courts with praise, and we've come into his presence. And yesterday I felt the Lord say to me, I want to tell you some things. I want to tell you some things. And I began to pray and began to worship, and I just, you know, we are his church. We are his body, and he cares about what is taking place in our lives. And he foresees what us gathering to. One, he showed me this service this morning. Just gave me a few words of knowledge. You know, the Bible says that God gives gifts to men, like the fivefold ministry, the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, to build up the church. But then also says that in 1 Corinthians 12 that there's the gifts of the Spirit, which the Holy Spirit divides to any one of us as he wills for the profit or the benefit of the church. So I felt like he gave me a couple of words of knowledge this morning, and I just want to act that out because I feel like it's his will for his people. So I just want to ask, Carol, just why don't you come here, Carol? Come here, Anna, and I'll just do exactly what I saw. Just lift your hands up. I just release the healing power of God to flow into this thyroid. Total healing in this thyroid right now. In Jesus' name. Annette, just come here a second. Lift up this arm. I just saw the side right here. I just release the healing power of God to flow from the left to the right. And back again. Healing power of God flowing through from the left to the right and back again in Jesus' name. I release the healing power of God to flow through Carol's feet and ankle bones. I command circulation to flow, the blood to flow. Command all pins and needles, numbness, pain to go. Thank you for fully functioning, strong, healthy feet and ankle bones, Father. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I had to write these down because there's just too many of them. Give me my glasses, honey. Side of my bag. Just this side, the back pocket. Back pocket there. My writing's too small. The light's too dark. This is his church. We depend on that. We say, Holy Spirit, move. But then we don't want to give him room to move, right? There's somebody that, it's either you or your child is having a recurring ear infection. It may even be somebody that's watching online. And I just speak healing right now. If that's you, just say, I receive it. I receive it right now. There's somebody, and I think it's a man who's got a knot, that you would call it you think of it as a knot in your lower abdomen, and it's bladder or prostate, it's an obstruction of some sort. Right now, the healing power of God is going right into your body. If that's you, just put your hand right in that area and just say, I receive it. If it's you that's watching, somebody with an astigmatism in their, I don't know if that's even the right word, in their eye, a defect. And the healing power of God is flowing into your eye right now. Say, I receive it. Let me just tell you, I was in a service At one time, you might say, well, that's not, you know, how do we even know? I remember being in a service where Pastor Theo was preaching, and he stopped in the middle of the service, and he said, I don't know what this is, but somebody, one of you has got a living fungus on their body. And literally that morning, I'd looked at my daughter Robin, who was 1 year old, and I'd seen like a ringworm on her back, and I saw it was red, and I looked at it, and I thought, that thing is living. That's a fungus, and it's living. And he stopped in the middle of the service, and he said, the Lord says, there's somebody with a living fungus. He said, I don't even know what that is, but she was healed right there. So let me tell you, don't take it for granted. When God speaks, he knows what he's talking about, right? And there's somebody that's experiencing weakness, almost right from your ear down your left side. You've noticed that side of you is weaker, and the Lord's giving you strength right now, healing. Just healing in your nerve endings, everywhere down your body. There's somebody that's, I think you've been diagnosed, it's a bone degeneration, osteoporosis. You see the signs of it, you see the effects of it, and the Lord says it stops right now, and it regenerates, not degenerates. There's somebody that's here, I don't know if it's Rox, Roy, and Karen, could be somebody else, it could be a number of people. The Lord said you've been contemplating buying a house, and you said to yourself, maybe now's not the right time. And the Lord says, I'm in this, and I will provide for it. So go ahead and take the next step and sign the contract, because that's me that's directing you. There's somebody that's having a sharp pain in their side. Someone's having a sharp pain in their side. If that's you, just say, Lord, I thank you for that. There's somebody else that your child, your son, the teachers have said that he has a learning disability. But the Lord says, no, I disagree. He doesn't have a learning disability. What he has is that he's just a slow learner, and he's going to catch up. So pay no attention to what they say about having a learning disability. Somebody having lower back pain, and it's related to disc degeneration. Somebody's having constant lower back pain. I hope that's not you, babe. Not you. Somebody's having lower back pain, and the Lord's healing that right now. Regeneration. I just sense a peace of God. The Holy Spirit's bringing a peace. There's been people that have had turmoil in their mind and in their marriage and in their home. And there's a supernatural peace that's filling your heart today. So you walk out of here with peace, like supernatural, a deep certainty that everything's going to be okay. And then lastly, there's somebody that's been having a recurring bad dream. You've been having a recurring bad dream, and it's made you think. You've had this thought, maybe this is a warning from the Lord. But the Lord says, it's not a warning from me. It's the enemy trying to plant seeds of fear, that if you would take hold of a seed of fear and let it gain root in your life, you open the door to those things. And so don't take it as a warning from me, but resist, and refuse to allow a spirit of fear to settle in your heart. Thank you, Lord. Father, I just release the healing power of God to flow in your people. I thank you that you are the Spirit of life. You are the life-giving Spirit. You said, where my Spirit is, there is liberty. I thank you for freedom from every bondage in this place. Father, I thank you that we walk free as children of God, that we walk strong, that we walk upright. Father, that we walk in faith and not in fear. I thank you for each and every person in this place, every person watching, Father God, that are just a supernatural strength infuses them right now. Supernatural strength. Say, Lord, I thank you for your strength. I thank you for your faith. I thank you for your peace that infuses my life, infuses my home, Lord. Infuses my job, infuses my family. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Hallelujah. We, family, we got to stay connected. We're connected. We're not, We're connected to the Father. We're part of his body. Right? Let's listen for his voice. Amen. Praise God.
Anyone who needs healing today, if you're here in the building or you're watching online, if you need healing in your body, just put your hand on your own body right now where you need the healing. Just put your hand right now and go ahead and pray, Jill. Pray right now. Release the healing power of God to flow right now, right through Father, that camera across the world.
You. I thank you, Father, that you, there's no distance in prayer. I thank you that you have the power to heal and deliver and set free. Lord Jesus, we saw it in your ministry. You walked up to a coffin and commanded a dead man to rise. You walked up to a leper and you spoke against, you commanded sickness to go. So right now, I just release the healing power of God to flow into your people. I thank you, Father, from the top of their head to the soles of their feet, that there is divine health flowing through their veins. No evil shall befall them. No plague comes near their dwelling. Thank you for health that springs forth right now in the name of Jesus. Amen.
In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I receive that. Thank you, Lord. I receive it. Give God praise. Come on. Let's give God thanks and praise, Lord. We worship you. We praise you. We magnify you. Where are you going? My wife said to me last night, I think it was, and she was praying yesterday, and the Lord showed a whole lot of things. And I want you to know, when God shows her these things, that's the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's what the Bible calls the word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and gifts of healings all working together. And so what happens is when Jill calls that out, it's already done. God's just telling you what he's doing. And so, but you know what? We love to hear. We love to hear testimonies. How many of you can say, Pastor Steve, I was one of those that Pastor Joel called. I know that was me. I know it was me. Hold your hand up. I was one of them. Hold up your hand if that was you. Well, come and let us know. Sometimes people only discover it later on. But, you know, if the Lord did something for you, healed you, did something, come and tell us. Come and tell what things the Lord has done. Amen. What'd you say? Be a witness. That's right. Be a witness. Yeah, that
God.
Is right. So praise God. Just cut it short today. We had a little problem with. Well, what I mean is. What I mean is, you don't have to do your whole long thing. You know what you do. We don't have the screen working, so we'll just welcome visitors. Yeah. But let me tell you right now that I'm so glad. You know, we thank God for technology. We thank God this LED screen is a tool. But we are not dependent, and God is not dependent on screens and on anything. He's not dependent on that. Let me tell you right now, there is such a strong presence of the Lord here today. And even though we didn't have words up for you to follow, but you just sang anyway. You just went ahead and sang anyway. And God inhabits the praises of his people. You know, it's a good lesson sometimes to learn. And I'm thankful for the fact that we even have in church today.
That's just what I was going to say.
Because Pastor Theo, I spoke to Pastor Theo, and they're over in Texas. That's my pastor, our pastors, Pastor Theo and Bev, and they're in San Antonio. And, of course, you know the weather and the snow and everything they had there. So what happened is they have a fire pipe, some kind of fire water pipe in the sprinkler, something in the ceiling. And it froze and it burst and it flooded their whole church. So they're not having church today. They can't. They're busy clearing up the flood. We ain't flooded out today. Thank God we got... We don't ever scream, but we're warm and we're in Florida and it is, you know, it's good. Praise the Lord, it's good.
Amen.
Isn't it?
Yes. Go ahead and greet somebody near you and you may be seated. Thank you. God. Well, welcome to church. We apologize for the late start, and we'll move right along. It's unforeseen. What I admire is how Pastor Steve allowed his frustration to go away. Because, you know, when you like things done with excellence, it's extremely frustrating when it doesn't go the way that you want it. But it's a lesson to be learned, right? So welcome to those that are watching online. We're so glad you are joining with us. We bumped into a few people. We have someone here today who was a waitress serving us in Jetties. Won't you wave your hand? She welcome her today. Come on, family. We were at Jetties. In fact, I must say, I think four times that we were out somewhere during this week, somebody stopped and said, "Hey, I watch you on TV," to Pastor Steve. So that was a good thing, wasn't it? It's a way, and it's an outreach. But welcome to everyone who's in church today. Those that are watching online, welcome to our members. Ascend Church members, we miss you. We're glad you're joining in online with us. We can't wait to see you again. And if anyone is here for the first time today, would you mind just waving your hand? God bless you. Come on, there's someone else at the back. Let's make it. Thank you. Our ushers will get a visitor pack to you. And there's one thing, is a white card that says guest. You just take a moment to fill it out. At the end of the service, we pass an offering bucket by. Just drop that card in, and it gives us the opportunity to give you a call and find out how you enjoyed the service. So thank you for doing that. Just one more thing I'll mention is that we pass a clipboard up the aisles on a Sunday. It's a register. And we are wanting to, at the beginning of this year, update our records. So would you do us a favor, when it comes by, other than putting your name, please put in your best email address. It just helps us make sure that we have our records straight. And so thank you for doing that. And we are ready for the Word of God. Amen.
Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hey, listen, it's going to be a good idea today, because we don't have the screen working. There's some kind of a technical problem. We'll figure it out. But it'll be good for you to make sure you've got the sermon outline handout that we hand out at the door, because that'll be good for you to follow. All the scriptures that I'm going to be using are on here. If you didn't get one of these, raise your hand, and I'm sure the ushers will get one to you. Also, we want to make sure, ushers, I want everyone to have one of these cards. It says, "What I'm giving to God." So please be sure you got one of these cards, "What I'm giving to God," and be sure you got the outline so you can follow with me today. Amen. Amen. I want to let you know, thank you, Nadine, that we had a great time here on Wednesday night. We had the start of our Christian growth seminar, and we had a great turnout. How many was here Wednesday night? How many were here Wednesday night? And we had a really good time, and I want to encourage you, you can still come join us this week. This Wednesday is going to be week two, and I'm going to be teaching this week at the Christian Growth, 3 steps to receive anything you need from God, and I'm going to be teaching about how to receive the power of God in your life. And so I really encourage you, if you haven't done the Christian Growth, even if you missed last week, come join us on Tuesday night. We're gonna have a really great time. It's one of my Wednesday night. Thank you. Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We'll be here Wednesday at 7 p.m. for the Christian Growth Seminar. Amen. Praise the Lord. Are you ready for God's word today? Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that we can give all our worries, all our cares, all to you. We thank you that we don't have to take any worry. We don't have to have any anxiety. We thank you that we can live carefree as the birds, Lord. In the name of Jesus, as I speak your word today, I thank you, Lord, for anointing me and speaking through me. And thank you that you'll speak to every heart, that our faith will rise up big, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we give you all the thanks for everything that is said and done in Jesus' name. If you agree with that, say amen. Amen. Well, today, I want to speak about forsake worry. Tell your neighbor, forsake worry. Tell your neighbor, this is for you. It's for me. You know, before I received Jesus into my life, I used to worry a lot. I was a real worrier, man. I'd stay awake at night worrying about things. My wife, when she was 11 years old, had 14 years old, excuse me, when she was 14 years old, she had a stomach ulcer because of anxiety and worry and stress because of the things that were going on at home. And one of the most important things I've learned is how to live worry-free, how to give my worries to God, how to forsake worry. And today I pray that you're going to walk out of here today and that you're going to make a decision that you are forsaking worry. Amen. That you're divorcing worry and we ain't getting back together. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said a lot about worrying. In verse 25, he said, never be worried about your life. Never be worried about your life. For all that you need will be provided, such as food, water, clothing, everything your body needs. Isn't there more to your life than a meal? Isn't your body more than clothing? Look at the carefree birds. Do you think they worry about their existence? They don't plan to reap or store up food. Yet your heavenly Father provides them each with food. Aren't you more valuable to your Father than they are? So which of you, by worrying, could add anything to your life? In fact, if you read it in Luke's gospel, in Luke chapter 12, he said it like this. He said, be carefree in the care of God. Does worry add anything to your life? Can it add one more year or even one more day? So if worrying adds nothing but actually subtracts from your life, why would you worry about God's care for you? Jesus said that worry actually subtracts from your life. It actually takes away. It actually steals from you. It doesn't add anything. I'm going to carry on from Matthew chapter 6, reading from verse 28. Jesus went on. I mean, he spoke a lot about worry in this. This is the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And look how much Jesus talks about worrying. He said, why would you worry about your clothing? Look at all the beautiful flowers of the field. They don't work. They don't toil. And yet, not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was robed in beauty more than these. So if God clothed the meadow with hay, which is here for a short time and then dried up and burned, won't he provide you the clothes you need, even though you live with such little faith? So then, forsake your worries. That's the Passion Translation. Forsake your worries. That's why I was reading that the other day, and the Lord told me that's a good title for you to preach on. Forsake your worries. The word forsake, it means to give up. It means to quit. It means to abandon. It means to renounce. It means to leave without intending to return. I want you to forsake your worries. I want you to leave your worries and do not return. Amen. Give them up. Quit. Amen. Verse 31. So then, forsake your worries. Why would you say, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? For that is what the unbelievers chase after. Doesn't your heavenly Father already know the things that your body requires? So above all, constantly chase after God's kingdom and the righteousness that proceeds from Him, then all these less important things will be given to you abundantly. So Jesus said, instead of worrying, just focus on seeking first the kingdom of God. Then all these other things that everyone else is worried about, they'll all be provided for you. Just put God first. Amen. He said in verse 34, refuse to worry about tomorrow. Refuse to worry about tomorrow. Say, I refuse to worry about tomorrow. But it says, deal with each challenge that comes your way one day at a time. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Now again, Luke, in the Luke's gospel, he recorded it like this, a little different. In Luke chapter 12, verse 6, it says, Luke said, what is the value of your soul to God? Could your worth be defined by an amount of money? God doesn't abandon or forget even the smallest sparrow he has made. How could he forget or abandon you? What about the seemingly minor issues of your life? Do they matter to God? Of course they do. So you never need to worry. You are more valuable to God than anything else in this world. Don't let worry enter your life. Live above the anxious cares about your personal needs. People everywhere seem to worry about making a living, but your Heavenly Father knows your every need and He will take care of you. Each and every day He will supply your needs as you seek His kingdom passionately above all else. It's so simple. Jesus said, you never have to worry. You never have to worry. Give up worry. Refuse to worry. Forsake worry. Abandon worry. Why would you worry? It doesn't add to your life. It subtracts from your life. You don't have to worry. You're so valuable to God. Just put the kingdom of God first, and God will supply every day what you need. Amen. Amen. Say, God doesn't want me to worry. Ever. Instead, He wants you to trust Him. You see, the reason why this is it's a big deal for God is because He wants us to trust Him. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 32, verse 18, my people will live free from worry in secure, quiet homes of peace. My people will live free from worry. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 32, it says, in all that you do, I want you to live free from worry. In everything you do, say, in everything I do, no matter what I'm doing, God wants me to be free from worry. See, why does Jesus tell us? What does Jesus tell us about worry? He says, just don't do it. He says, never be worried about your life. Don't let worry enter your life. You never need to worry. Be like the carefree birds. Be carefree in the care of God. Amen. Never worry about your needs, because worrying subtracts from your life. Refuse to worry. Forsake worry. You see, worry is a powerfully destructive force. It can keep you from fulfilling your destiny. Worry will hinder your faith. Worry can get you off course faster than anything else. We are not supposed to be directed by worry. We're supposed to be directed by the Spirit of God. And you see, God knew that we'd be tempted to worry. He knew that we'd try and figure things out on our own. But He tells us not to worry about anything, ever. Because worry doesn't help us. It doesn't add anything to our lives. It actually drains us. It brings in doubt. It brings in fear. One thing I realized in my life, that worry is a thief. It steals my time. It steals my joy. It steals my peace. It steals my energy. It steals my faith. And the good news is we've got power over that thief. We can go from fear to fearlessness. We can go from worrying to trusting God. It's not always easy, but let me tell you, it starts with a decision. And that's what I want to encourage you today, is to make that decision that you are not going to worry anymore. In Luke chapter 21, verse 14, Jesus said, make up your mind right now not to worry. Make up your mind right now not to worry. Tell your neighbor, make up your mind not to worry. Make that decision that you're going to forsake worrying. You've got to decide that you're going to trust God, that you're going to give your worries to Him. That's what the Bible says we're supposed to do with our worries. In 1 Peter 5, verse 7, it says, give all your worries to God and give all your cares to God because He cares about you. It says, give your cares to God. Give your worries to God. You see, God won't take your worries. You've got to give them to Him. And you might have to put a little effort into this. You might have to change what you're thinking about. You might have to change the things that you're saying with your mouth. But I want to encourage you today to make that decision that you're going to let go of worry. That you're going to cast all your cares and worries over on God, because He cares for you. Amen. And rather cast your cares on God and take hold of His wonderful promises, because worrying doesn't help you. Jesus said it subtracts from your life. Worry is like sitting in a rocking chair. You're doing something, but you're not going anywhere. You're just rocking and rolling and rocking and rolling and rocking and rocking and rocking and rocking, but you're not going anywhere. Worry doesn't change one thing. But I tell you what, it changes who you are. It changes your personality. It makes you frustrated. It makes you cranky, miserable, steals your joy, steals your faith. It literally chokes you spiritually. Jesus spoke about this in the parable of the sower sowing the word in Matthew chapter 13. There was a farmer that was planting seed in his field, and the farmer represents God. And the seed represents God's word that is being planted in our heart. And Jesus warned us that worry will choke God's word, and it'll stop it from producing fruit in our life. In Luke chapter 8, verse 14, listen to this. Jesus said, the seed among the thorns represents those who listen, and they believe God's words. But their faith afterwards is choked out by worry. They receive God's word. They believe God's word. But their faith is choked out by worry and riches and the responsibility and pleasures of life. And they are never able to help anyone else believe the good news. Let me tell you, worry will choke your faith. Worry literally chokes the seed of God's word in your life. It stops it from working in your life. We need to win the war over worry. Because when we worry, we might as well be saying, God, I've got some big problems, but I know you're not big enough to take care of them, Lord. That's why I'm so worried about it, because I know you can take care of this. Instead of thinking about your problem, think about what God says. Think about the word of God. The Bible says in Isaiah 26, verse 3, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. It says the one who has his mind stayed on God, when you got your mind fixed on the word of God, it says God will keep you in perfect peace because you're trusting in him. The New Living Translation says whose thoughts are fixed on him. You see, when you worry, we're doing the opposite of what God says. We're keeping our mind stayed on what the enemy's telling us. And Satan's favorite area is to work in our mind. He'll constantly feed you with all these lies, all kind of negative, worrisome thoughts. He'll try and shoot these thoughts into your mind. He'll tell you, man, that pain in your side is probably the cancer. Oh, what's going to happen? You're probably going to lose your biggest client at work. Oh, what are you going to do then? What are you going to do then? What if your child never gets out of that trouble? What if that relationship doesn't work out? Oh, what if you don't get out of that debt? What are you going to do then? The devil will feed you all these negative thoughts. And if you make the mistake of dwelling on them and constantly trying to figure out the what ifs in life, you'll just be upset and anxious and worried, and that's exactly what the enemy wants. He wants to keep you in that negative frame of mind so that we can never really enjoy our life. Worry is simply playing the enemy's lies over and over in our minds. It's like a tape recorder, a recording that never stops. When you just play the lies of the enemy over and over in your mind, worry is the opposite of faith, because faith pleases God, and faith is what causes God to work mightily in your life. When we worry, we literally tie the hands of Almighty God. Amen. And let me tell you, one reason we've all been guilty of worrying is because we're trying to figure out everything in our own natural wisdom and reasoning, trying to figure out the solution, solve our problem in our own strength, in our own power. And that just leads to frustration and confusion. We end up carrying this big, heavy load all by ourselves. And let me tell you, that's never been God's plan. God wants you to give your worries to him. If you read the verse right before 1 Peter 5, verse 7, 1 Peter 5, 7 says, give all your worries and cares to God. But the verse 6 says this. Verse 6, 1 Peter 5, verse 6 says, therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Do you know that you have to humble yourself in order to cast all your worries over on God? Do you know that it takes humility to give your worries over to God? You've got to acknowledge, Lord, I need your help. I'm not trusting and depending on myself. I'm looking to you. So we've got to stop trying to figure everything out on our own. And we've got to come to the realization that we need God's help. And God is interested in the smallest detail of our life. We need His strength. We need His power. We got to be willing to say, Lord, I can't do this by myself. You see, a proud person does just the opposite. A proud person says, I don't need any help. I'm confident in my own ability. I can handle this all by myself. God, I know you're very busy, and I can take care of this. But you see, if you make the mistake of trying to do everything in your own ability, God will just very politely step out of the way. If you want to do it by yourself, God will let you do it by yourself. But what I want you to see today, family, is God is more than willing to take care of you. He is more than willing to turn that negative situation around. He is more than willing. He wants to bring your dreams to pass. But unless you first let go of it, God can't begin to work in your life as long as you're trying to do it all your own way, in your own strength. If you're always filled with fear and anxiety, you're always upset and troubled, you wonder what's going to happen next. That's limiting God in your life. Yes. Hand me that water, please. That is limiting God in your life. Thank you. That's better. All right. That's okay. Leave it there. If you don't make the decision that you are going to just turn it completely over to God and refuse to worry about it, God cannot step in and supernaturally intervene on your behalf. Are you with me? In other words, if you want God to work in your life, you've got to do it on His terms. See, we've got to let God be God. He's a whole lot smarter than us. He's a whole lot wiser than us. And He doesn't need our help to be God. He can solve any of our problems all by Himself. And really, the root of most of our worrying is a pride issue. Because we just won't let go and trust God completely to take care of it for us. A lot of times we say one thing with our mouth, but by our actions we say something very different. We say, God, I believe you, Lord. I trust you. I know you're going to see me through. But then we've all been guilty. A few hours later, we give in to worry and anxiety. And what we're really saying when we do that, we're really saying, God, I'm not sure you can handle this. I better give you a hand, Lord. I'm not sure you can handle this. Now, the first thing you got to do is you got to humble yourself. You got to come to the realization you cannot do it on your own. You need God's help. God wants you to trust Him. He wants you to look to Him. The Bible says, cast all your cares over on the Lord, not some of them. Cast all your worries over on God. And the word cast is somewhat of a violent word because it means to hurl or to throw with force. God didn't say just pass your burdens on the Lord. He didn't just say lay them down. God knew it wasn't going to be easy to just not constantly dwell on our problems. He knew it wasn't going to be easy for us not to worry and be filled with anxiety. He knew it was going to take a strong will and determination. That's why he used this forceful word. He said, cast all your cares on the Lord. Throw all your cares over on God. Amen. Sometimes you've got to get a little violent. You've got to show the enemy that you're more determined than he is. You've got to refuse to dwell on the enemy's lies and refuse to carry that heavy burden that he's trying to put on you. Amen. Amen. Kenneth Hagin tells a story. Jill and I graduated from Rhema Bible Training, or Rhema Bible College, and it was founded by Kenneth Hagin, and he tells a story. One time a lady came forward, she was asking for prayer, and she was all upset. She was crying. She looked really worried, and so she said, Brother Hagin, please would you pray for me? Please pray that God will take this heavy burden off of me. I can't carry it any longer. I'm having such a hard time. Pray that God will take this heavy burden. Very politely, he answered her back. He said, no, ma'am, I won't pray for you. That got her attention. She was kind of surprised. She's like, "What?" She was a little offended. What do you mean you won't pray for me? He said, ma'am, the Bible says you must cast all your cares on the Lord, and I could pray for you for 24 hours a day for God to take your burden, but it isn't going to do any good. It's not going to change anything. You're not going to get any better until you decide to do something about it, and you decide to cast those burdens over on God. God ain't going to take them from you. You got to give them to him. See, there's something for all of us to do. Because so many times we make the mistake of allowing the enemy to deceive us into carrying all this junk around in our mind, fear and worry and anxiety and depression, confusion. We're just kind of sitting back and praying and praying and praying and waiting patiently for God to do something about it. And a lot of times we're waiting on God, but God's waiting on us. It's time for us to rise up as children of the Most High God and say, you know what, enough is enough. I'm not going to carry this heavy burden anymore. I refuse to worry. I refuse to dwell on the enemy's lies. God, I'm casting all my cares on you. I know you take care of me. I'm forsaking worry. I'm not letting worry into my life in the name of Jesus. Let me tell you, if we would spend as much time dwelling on what God says, dwelling on the promises of God as we do, worrying and dwelling on our problems, we'd see a lot more dreams come to pass a whole lot sooner. Learn to dwell on the greatness of our God. Some of you, probably all of you, are facing some problems, some challenges, because in life you face challenges. Maybe in the natural, you don't have a logical solution. You don't know what the solution is. But if all you do is dwell on your impossibilities, you're going to live a negative, defeated, worried, anxious kind of life. Maybe you say, well, Steve, you don't know my situation. Doctors have given up on me. My marriage looks hopeless. It looks like I'm headed for bankruptcy. My child's on drugs. I'll never get out of debt. My dreams are never going to come to pass. Listen, you've got to quit dwelling on what the enemy is telling you and start dwelling on what God says to you. Amen. Jesus said in Mark chapter 10, verse 27, with men it's impossible, but not with God, because with God all things are possible. It may be impossible for you. It may be impossible for men, but it's not impossible for God, because all things are possible for him. Jesus said in Mark 9, verse 23, if you can believe, all things are possible for to him who believes. See, all things are possible when we believe that God is on our side and helping us. We got to stop limiting God with our small-minded thinking. Because even though our problems may be big, our God is much, much bigger. Our obstacles may be high, but we serve the Most High God. Your enemies may be powerful, but our God is all-powerful. King Jehoshaphat, when he was surrounded in 2 Chronicles 20, surrounded by three armies that were outnumbered, the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 6, he said, O Lord God of our fathers, it's the only God in all the heavens, the ruler of the kingdoms of the earth. You are so powerful. You are so mighty. Who can stand against you? He's getting his eyes on how big God is. God told the prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah 32, verse 27, behold, I am the Lord. I am the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? How many of you know there's nothing that is too hard for the Lord? He said, is anything too hard for me? There's nothing too hard for God. He's the God who parted the Red Sea for Israel. He's the God who stopped the sun for Joshua. He's the God who closed the mouths of hungry lions for Daniel. He is the same God. The Bible says that Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. He hasn't changed. He's still all-powerful God. And what God did for them, he'll do for every one of us. Let me tell you, God's got a supernatural way to meet every one of your needs. You may not be able to figure it out, how God's going to do it, but that's okay. I'm so glad that it's not my job to figure out how God's going to do it. My job is just to believe him that he will do it and just do whatever he tells me to do. Let me tell you, God is so good to us. He said, just give it to me, and I'll take care of it. He's called Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider. He's called El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough. He's called the great I am. He's not the great I was. He's the great I am. And God says to you, I am right now anything you need me to be. I'm your peace. I'm your joy. I'm your strength. I'm your victory. I'm your provider. I'm your healer. I'm your protector. I'm your deliverer. I'm anything, whatever you need right now. Let me tell you, He is everything we need. We must stop dwelling on our impossibilities and start dwelling on the power and the greatness of our God. We serve an awesome God. Amen. Some of us, we've been worrying for too long. You may not even realize it, but some of you, you've become addicted to worry. The enemy's tormented you in your mind for years. You're always upset. You're always troubled about something, trying to reason every single situation out. Your mind is never at ease. It's never at peace. Some people, if they don't have something to worry about, they get worried about not having something to worry about. I know something bad's going to be coming down the road. Everything's going just too good right now. So that's how some people are. Some people, you've been this way so long, you may not realize how it's affecting you. You may not realize how it's limiting God's blessings in your life. You've forgotten what it's like to be free, to walk around with peace and joy and not be all uptight about something. But we do not have to live like that. The Bible says in Colossians 3, in verse 2, let heaven fill your thoughts. Don't spend your time worrying about things down here. I'm not going to spend my time worrying about things that are happening in the earth. I'm going to let heaven fill my thoughts. How about you? Psalm 62, verse 2, it says, He alone is my safe place. His wraparound presence always protects me, for He is my champion defender. There's no risk of failure with God. So why would I let worry paralyze me? Why would I let worry paralyze me? Even when troubles are multiplying around me, why would I let worry paralyze me? He is my shelter. He is my safe place. He always protects me. There's no risk of failure with God. Why would I worry? Let me tell you another reason why a lot of us worry is because we cast our cares on the Lord one day, and then we take them back the next day. We come to church, we get all fired up, hallelujah, come on my soul, don't you get shy of me, lift up a song, you got a lion inside of that soul, oh, man, I'm all fired up, come back home from church, all fired up. But Monday, the pressures of life hit, and we take all our cares back from God. We take them all back. And God can never really work in our life because every other day we change our mind from trusting God to worrying, from trusting God to worrying, from trusting God to worrying. But God is saying, if you really want me to help you, give it to me once and for all, man. Just give it to me and leave it with me. Let me take care of it. Amen. 1 Peter 5, verse 7. Casting, the Amplified Bible says, casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on Him, for He cares for you affectionately and He cares about you watchfully. The Passion Bible says, pour out all your worries and stress upon Him and leave them there. For He tenderly cares for you. When you give your worries over to God, listen, leave them with Him. Because that's what we do. We come to pray, Lord, oh, I come before You, Lord. You know the things I'm facing. Lord, I'm worried about my health. Boom. I'm giving it over to You, Lord. My worries about my finances. Boom. Giving it over to You, Lord. My worries about my family, my job. Boom. I'm giving it over to You, Lord. Thank You. If You can help me. Amen. Okay, Lord, see You tomorrow. Boom. 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 See You tomorrow, Lord. That's how a lot of us pray. That's how we act with God. We give it to Him one day. We take it right back the next. Listen, don't take your worries back. Refuse to worry. Forsake your worries. Refuse to trouble your mind with it any longer. And one way you can do this is when you're facing a challenge or something that you're concerned about, make a conscious decision and have a specific time and place where you turn that concern over to the Lord. That's what we're going to do today. You're going to write down on that little card every little thing you're tempted to be worried about, every little concern you may have. I want you to start writing while I'm preaching. I want you to write all your worries down on that card. You're holding on to that card. We're not taking it from you. You don't have to worry who's going to see it. You're going to keep that card. You're going to put that in your Bible. And every time the enemy tries to remind you and tries to tempt you to worry, you're going to pull that card out and you're going to say, hey, devil, just come here. I've got to tell you something. Do you see this card, dum-dum? I handed that care over to God on February 21st, Sunday, February 21st. It's God's problem. Go talk to him about it. It's not my problem. It's God's. I gave it to him. That's why you want to keep that card in your Bible. You see, that way, when the enemy comes and he tries to get you to take the worry back, you can refer to the time and the place that you specifically turned that over to the Lord. And the reason why that's so important is because the enemy is constantly going to try and bring that situation back up. He's going to try and get you to take that worry back. The enemy doesn't care whether you have or haven't turned your situation over to the Lord. He's not going to leave you alone either way. He's going to continually feed you those thoughts of fear and anxiety and worry. But when those negative thoughts come and you feel that temptation to start worrying, you've got that specific time. You know, that's when I turn that over to the Lord and I'm not taking it back. Thank you, Lord, you taking care of this. It's a whole lot easier to resist the temptation to worry. You can say, no, devil, last Sunday, February 21st, at 11:28 a.m., that's the time if you didn't know it, I gave that worry over to God. And he's taking care of it. And I refuse to allow worry back in my life. I refuse to listen to your lies. You see, right now in my own life, I've got things I could be worried about. I've got things I could lose sleep over. If I allowed myself to, I'm sure I could develop ulcers. I could get all stressed out, become a nervous wreck if I allowed myself to. Amen. We face challenges. Some people don't realize what it's like being in the ministry. The ministry is a walk by faith. We face financial things all the time. All the time. We have to cast that out. Some people don't realize what it takes to run a church like this. They don't think that it takes money to turn on those lights. It takes money to get that screen fixed. It takes money to buy all this stuff. It all takes money. And even the Apostle Paul, he was tempted to worry about things in the church. Paul wrote to the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28. And this is what he said. He said, beside all these things, I have the constant worry of how the churches are getting along. The Passion Bible says it like this. Beside these painful circumstances, I have the daily pressure of my responsibility for all the churches with a deep concern weighing heavily on my heart for their welfare. You see, for me, not only do I have a concern about each and every person in the church, I'm concerned about each and every person. Then when someone stops coming to church, then I go after them, and I call them up, and I text them, and I get a hold of them, and I try and encourage them, because I am constantly have a concern for you. But then beside that, I've got things like mortgages to pay and power bills and phone bills and a million other things to do. And Paul's kind of facing the same thing. So look what he says in 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 3. He said, not that the trouble should come as any surprise to you. You've always known that we're in for this kind of thing. It's part of our calling. When we were with you, we made it quite clear that there was trouble ahead. And now that it's happened, you know what it's like. That's why I couldn't quit worrying. This is the Apostle Paul. He says, that's why I couldn't quit worrying. I had to know for myself how you were doing in the faith. I didn't want the tempter getting to you and tearing down everything that I'd built up together. But thank God, even though the Apostle Paul was tempted to worry, he learned to overcome it. Because in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 7, the Bible says, Paul said, I went from tranquility, I went from worry to tranquility in no time. Paul said, I was tempted to worry. I have all these things about the concern for the church, but I went from worry to tranquility in no time. I've learned how to go from worry to peace, just like that. Every time the enemy tries to bring up that thought, tries to get me to worry, I just go right back to the time where I handed that over to God, and I rest assured knowing he's taking care of that situation. Amen? Amen. The first thing you should do whenever you're presented with an opportunity to be worried is ask yourself, have I turned this over to the Lord? Have I given this situation over to God? And if you haven't, then make the decision to do it right there and then. And if you've already done it, then don't make the mistake of taking that worry back. Because you can turn that negative into a positive. When the enemy brings you thoughts of worry, let it be a reminder to you to thank God that the answer is on the way. Let it backfire on the enemy. So when the devil comes and says, oh, what you going to do? Remember that problem. Remember that. What are you going to do? Devil, thank you for reminding me. Let me lift my hand. Lord, thank you that you're at work on my behalf. Thank you, you're turning the situation around. Thank you, I cast this care over on you. Thank you, Lord, that you're taking care of it for me. You said no weapon formed against me will prosper. You said you always cause me to triumph. You said you supply all of my needs according to your riches in glory, Lord. I want to thank you and praise you, Lord, that you're taking care of it. Thanks, devil, for reminding me to do that. Every time the devil comes to try and remind you to worry, say, thanks for reminding me. Thank you, Lord, you're taking care of that problem. I cast it over on you in the name of Jesus. You see, if you can learn to use opportunities to worry as a reminder to praise God, get ready, because the answer will be here any moment. You'll come into victory a whole lot sooner. See, you can either worry or you can worship. You can worry or you can worship. The choice is yours. Worry gives the enemy the right to work in your life. And worship and faith gives God the opportunity to work in your life. I choose faith. I choose worship over worry any day. I think about King Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, who I referred to in a few moments ago, and I'm going to close with this. He and the people of Judah, they were surrounded by three armies. And in the natural, they didn't stand a chance. I mean, it was an impossible situation. They were so tempted, I'm sure, to be worried. I'm sure the enemy was bombarding their minds with thoughts of fear, anxiety, and panic. And I love what Jehoshaphat did. He's a great example for all of us. He gathered all the people together to pray. And he prayed a very, very simple prayer. In 2 Chronicles 20, verse 12, he said, Lord, this was his prayer, we are powerless against this mighty army that is about to attack us. We don't know what to do, but we are looking to you. Now, in his time of need, King Jehoshaphat made three powerful statements. Number one, he said, we don't have power in ourselves. He was saying, God, we need your supernatural strength. We need your help. We can't do it on your own. Lord, we're looking to you. Secondly, he said, we don't know what to do. In other words, we're not going to try to figure this out in our own reasoning. We need your supernatural help. Lord, we need your supernatural guidance. Number three, he says, we are looking to you for help. In other words, we are not dwelling on the problem. Doesn't matter how impossible it may look. We are not focused on our circumstance. We are focused on your power, Lord. We are looking to you. We're focused on your greatness. What they really were doing was casting their cares on the Lord. What they were really saying was, Lord, just turning this totally over to you, because we know that you can see us through. Amen? And because they refused to trust in their own ability and strength, and they tried not to take care of it by themselves, that's what allowed God to supernaturally intervene and give them a supernatural victory. You see, first they had to let go of the situation. And when they did their part, God was faithful to do his part. The Spirit of the Lord came upon a young man named Jahaziel, and God spoke through this young man in 2 Chronicles 20:15. He said, this is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Do not be worried. Do not be anxious. by this mighty army, for the battle is not yours. The battle is God's. Tomorrow, go march out against them. You'll find them coming through the ascent of Ziz at the end of the valley that opens up into the wilderness of Jeruel. God told them exactly where they're going to be. You won't need to fight. Oh, he said, take your position, stand still, and watch the Lord's victory. He is with you, O people of Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out against him tomorrow, for the Lord is with you. Verse 21 says, after consulting with the people, the king appointed singers to walk ahead of the army, singing to the Lord and praising him for his holy splendor. And this is what they sang: give thanks to the Lord, for his faithful love endures forever. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. See, they weren't worrying, they were worshiping. They weren't worrying, they were worshiping. What happened? The Bible says that the very moment they began to sing and give praise to God, the Lord caused the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir to start fighting among themselves. And the armies of Moab and Ammon turned against their allies from Mount Seir and killed every one of them. And after they destroyed the army of Seir, they began attacking each other, so that when the army of Judah arrived at the lookout point in the wilderness, all they saw were dead bodies lying on the ground as far as they could see. Not a single one of the enemy had escaped. You see, when we worship instead of worry, God works miracles in your life. The Apostle Paul gave us insight of how to win the war over worry. In Philippians 4, verse 4, he said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. The Living Bible says, always be full of the joy of the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. And then down in verse 6, so he said, rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the Lord always. Then verse 6, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God your needs and don't forget to thank him for his answers. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will God will keep your thoughts and your hearts quiet as you rest and trust in Christ Jesus. He says, rejoice always. Don't be anxious about anything. Instead, pray about everything. The Message Bible says, don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. It's wonderful when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. The Passion Bible says it like this: don't be pulled in different directions or worried about a thing. What's the song? Don't be worried about a thing. What's from that movie we watched? The movie Sing that our grandkids love. Have you heard that song? Don't be worried about a thing, baby. Don't be worried about a thing. That's what the Bible says. Don't be worried about a thing. Be saturated in prayer throughout each day, offering your faith-filled requests before God with overflowing gratitude. Tell him every detail of your life. Then God's wonderful peace that transcends human understanding will make the answers known to you through Jesus Christ. Paul gives us a clear-cut strategy how to defeat worry, how to defeat anxiety. First, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Stay full of praise. Stay full of thanksgiving. Stay full of joy. Keep a cheerful attitude. Instead of worrying, pray about everything. Turn that situation over to the Lord and then go on your way rejoicing, knowing that God has it. He's taking care of it. Amen? Paul didn't just say stop being anxious. He followed it up with a practice that you and I can do every day. He told us to pray about everything. He told us, turn your worry into prayer. Take your worry list and turn it into a prayer list. Are you with me? Then Paul says, if you do that, you'll experience the peace of God. God will take care of the problem. Amen. See, we all face struggles. Nobody is exempt. The question is, are you worrying or are you praying? Are you worrying or are you worshiping? Are you living stressed out or are you living peaceful? Because prayer and worry, faith and worry cannot coexist. They're the opposite. You cannot worry and be trusting and believing God at the same time. Listen, man, don't pull up a chair and have a conversation with all those anxious thoughts that are trying to drag you down in your mind. Don't allow anxiety to push you around anymore. Take your daily worries and anxieties and begin to cast them over on God. Bring God into the middle of your challenges. Pray and thank Him for taking care of it. Because what's really so sad about worrying is most of the things we worry about never, ever come to pass. Amen. Someone said, Pastor Steve, are you telling me if I quit worrying that all my problems are going to go away? No, I'm not saying that if you quit worrying that all your problems are going to go away. I'm saying worrying won't change anything. It's totally useless. It's a waste of time. It stops God's blessing on your life. It'll wear you out, not just emotionally and mentally, but even physically as well. It'll steal your joy. It'll keep you run down. It'll even make you weak and sickly. The Bible says in Psalm 37, verse 8, don't fret and worry. It only leads to harm. Proverbs 12, 25 says, worry weighs a person down. An encouraging word cheers a person up. Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. Do you know that worry can actually affect you physically? Some of us who've been carrying a heavy load that you don't have to, God doesn't want you to. God wants you to be free. He wants you to enjoy your life. Make a decision today that you are going to cast all your cares, all your worries, all your anxieties once and for all over on the Lord. And when the enemy tries to tempt you, just let that remind you to raise your hands and just say, Lord, I want to thank you that you're working in my behalf. I want to thank you. You're bringing me the victory. I want to thank you. You're taking care of this. I want to thank you. You're providing every need. I want to thank you and praise you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. So as we close today, how to live worry-free. There's five steps down on your sermon handout today. Five things. Here they are. Number one, how to live worry-free. Number one, give your worries to God. Number two, pray and ask God to take care of it. Number three, joyfully give praise and thanks to God. Number four, keep on thinking about what God says. And number five, refuse to let worry come back in. Let me say it again. Number one, go back to that for me. Number one, give your worries over to God. Number two, pray and ask Him to take care of it. Number three, joyfully give praise and thanks to God. Number four, think about what God says. And number five, refuse to let that worry to come back in. Amen. I want you, have you written your worries down on a card today? Did anyone do that? Did anyone write your worries down on a card? We're going to give it over to God. Are you ready? I said, are you ready? Are you ready to give your worry? Are you ready to walk out of here worry-free, care-free today? Amen. Thanks for your enthusiasm this morning. Say this. Hold this card up to the Lord. Say, Father. Say, today. I give you all my worries. I give you all my cares, Lord. I refuse to worry about this. I will not worry into my life. Father, I'm asking you to take care of these worries in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that I'm carefree. I'm like the birds. I'm trusting you to take care of this. I know you're all powerful. So I forsake worry in the name of Jesus. I refuse to allow worry in my life. Say, I'm casting all these cares. I'm giving them all to God. I'm casting them all to God. Today, February 21st, I cast these cares on God. He's got them now. I don't have them anymore. Put that in your Bible. When the enemy tries to remind you about it, say, oh no, devil, thanks for reminding me. Thank you, Lord. I'm giving that care to you. Thank you, you're taking care of it. And give Him praise in Jesus' name. Can you say amen, somebody? Can you give God some praise? Come on, Jill, give God some praise. Hand me that baptism card. Now, as my wife comes, we're going to be closing the service. But as my wife comes up, I want to mention to you that we're having water baptism next Sunday. Praise God. We'll have everything fixed and working next week. But we're going to have water baptism. We're going to set up a swimming pool right out there in the parking lot. We've already got 20 people to be baptized. But I know there's some other people who want to get baptized. Listen, if you haven't been baptized yet, you need to get baptized. The Bible, Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus was baptized. We're to follow his example. The Bible says when we get baptized, it's like we bury the past. We come up out of that water to live a new life. If you haven't been baptized, the baptism is a public profession of an inward change. It's a public profession of your faith. And it's an exciting time. It's a special event. And I really encourage you, if you haven't been baptized, get baptized next Sunday. You need to fill out this little water baptism card. We want to have your water, we want to have your baptism certificate ready. And we want to know how many people to expect. So if you haven't yet filled out a card to get baptized next Sunday, please, ushers, get a card to them. Fill out the card for baptism. We also got some children going to be baptized. Aaron and Angie's sons are getting baptized.
Maria's son is getting baptized.
Right. So we have some children getting baptized, if they understand that. So if you want to get baptized, fill out the baptism card. And one more thing I've got to say about water baptism is that I need some help. I need some gentlemen who will come and help me next Saturday to set up the pool. We've got to set up the pool, fill it with water, get it heated for next Sunday, and I need help to do it. Who would love to help me next Sunday, next Saturday? Who will come and help me? I'd like to come next Saturday and set it up. What time would you like to do it, gentlemen?
Noon. That's what I
12 o'clock? Can we say 12 o'clock? 12 o'clock. Let me see your hand again. Ray, Barry, Gerard. Joshua, Moises, Bruce, Roxroy, 7, awesome.
Aaron,
bless you, Aaron. We're going to get, and we got Daniel at the back, right? Awesome. We're going to get it set up. Next Saturday, we'll meet at 12 o'clock to set up baptism. It's going to be great. I love baptism.
Well, when we, this is a time in the service where we get the opportunity to give into the kingdom of God.
Thank you.
And I always take, Pastor Steve's like, what scripture are you using for the offering? I said, well, I just took a sneak peek at your notes. And the moment I see the title, Refuse to Worry, I have to think of Matthew 6. And he referred to it because it's Jesus' own words. And, you know, as it comes to offering time, those that are watching, you can just you can go to ascendchurch.us and you can give online. Those that are sitting here, various ways to give, but you can give in this envelope. You can give online. Scan that little barcode if you want to get into our website real easy. But, you know, Jesus said this. He said in Matthew 6, don't worry about your life. Don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear. Now, let me tell you, if we're sitting here at offering time, those are some of the things that you're thinking about. When you think about money, you're thinking about food and things you've got to buy. That's what you'd be thinking about. But he reminds us that we're far more valuable than the birds, right? And they're always taken care of. So when it comes time for offering, don't be thinking about your bills and what you have to pay. Just listen to Jesus' words today. I'm going to read you two verses in Matthew 6, 31. He says, so do not worry. Say, I must not worry. I must not worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. So when we choose to seek the kingdom of God first, we just say, God, I'm putting you first. He says, don't worry about the things because it'll come after you. Jeez, we've got a whole conversation going on over here. Huh? He did? Oh, awesome. Awesome. Great. It's very exciting. Very exciting. Bit late, but it's exciting anyway. Anyway, back to the point. When we give, we are one of the ways. There's many ways we put God first in our life, but one of the ways we do it is by tithing and giving. Because if you say, Lord, I'm going to give you the first tenth off of the top of my income, I'm going to give to you re- regardless of my circumstance, it means you're putting your trust in Him. Amen. So go ahead and prepare yourself to give. Thank you to all our faithful givers, people that give online. We have people that have not been in church in almost a year, and they tithe faithfully every week. And we thank you for doing that. We thank you for being so faithful. It's a blessing to our church.
Amen. Amen. Listen, we wouldn't be here every week, week after week after week after week, if it wasn't for the faithful tithers in this church. The screen came back on. Did someone say Bobby helped us? Where are you?
He's in disguise.
Oh, my goodness me. Bobby, wave at me. What a Sunday to pick to come to church, Bobby. I bet it was it something simple or no? He doesn't know what he did. Show them the picture. Have you got the CGS picture from the CGS class up there? Have you got it, Miguel? Don't worry about it. Well, praise the Lord. I thought we're going to be here this afternoon working on the screen, on the phone, troubleshooting, blah, 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 blah. But Bobby came along and visited us and fixed it. So praise the Lord. Man, oh, man, oh, man. Come on, stand up with me as we close today. Tell your neighbor, I'm glad you were here today. I'm glad I was here today. Say, I'm forsaking my worries today. I want you to bow your head real quick as we close in prayer. Will you do that, please? Every head bowed, every eye closed, just for 2 minutes. While your heads are bowed, while our eyes are closed, listen to me. If you're not sure where you stand with the Lord today, never close service without giving people the opportunity to make sure that all is right, all is well between them and God. If you were to die today, if you died today, can you say, Pastor Steve, I know if I died today, I know I'd go to heaven. I'm absolutely certain. Or would you have to be honest and say, Pastor Steve, if I died today, I'm not sure what would happen to me. I'm not sure if I'd go to heaven. I'm not sure. Let me tell you the good news is you can be. You can walk out of here today. You can know that all is right between you and God. You can know that every mistake, every sin you ever committed in your life is forgiven and washed away. And you can know for certain that when you die, heaven is where you're going to spend all of eternity. Listen, I want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to step out. But right where you're standing, while heads are bowed and while we have our eyes closed, this is between you and God today. If you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me. I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. I want to know that all is right with me and God. Pray for me. If that's you, I want you quickly just slip your hand up. If you would, just raise your hand up. I'm looking for hands. If your hand is raised, you're included in this prayer. Put it up high. There you go. I see hands being raised. All right. Praise God, Eddie. Praise God, Eddie. Eddie came yesterday to help us fix the TVs in our lobby weren't working, and he fixed them, and I asked him to come to church today, and he's standing at the back, and he just lifted up his hand, and we're going to say that prayer with him today, all of us. I want everybody to say this prayer. Everybody, will you say this with Eddie? Eddie, say this prayer. Say, dear God, I thank you that you love me so much. You sent Jesus, your son, to come to this earth to die for me, and you said that if I would believe that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and if I would confess that Jesus is my Lord, you said I would be saved. I would be your child. So I do this today. Say, I believe in my heart. Jesus, you've been raised from the dead. You are alive. I ask you to come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. Save me, Lord. I confess Jesus is now Lord of my life. From today, I'm going to live for you, Lord. I'm going to follow you, and I thank you because I've received you. I am now saved. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. God, you're my very own father. I'm your very own child. Heaven is my home, and my name is written down in your book of life. Say thank you, Jesus. Amen. The Bible says in Romans 10 verse 9, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and if you believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Amen. Listen, I want to say thank you to all of our servant leaders who serve, all our volunteers who served, our ushers, our greeters, our media team, our children's church. Won't you give them a big round of applause? We so appreciate all of our servant leaders. Thank you for serving. We'll see you Wednesday night, Christian Growth Seminar. God bless. Have a great week. Water baptism next week. We'll see you next Sunday. Praise the Lord. Amen.
So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. All that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I've nothing else fit for a king except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you so much for coming. We'll see you next week. God bless.